I'm embarrassed to say this, but I really believe in transparency, and I really believe in practicing what we preach here on Why Are You Like This?
Oh, God. Okay.
But I ignored some of our own advice that we gave to listeners this week, and I deeply regret it, and I'd like to share that personal story with you.
I'm ready. I would like to know about this, yes?
You're like, how were we betrayed?
Uh-huh.
So, do you perhaps recall a certain episode we did about some artificial fats and sugars?
Oh, no. All right. What happened?
Well, okay, so, sweet listeners, if you're new here, or if you missed this episode, or if you just want a little refresher, we did an episode that Jamie ran us through on some really important content, I might say, about olestra and olein and, like, aspartame and just, like, all of that stuff. It happens in season 3, and the subtext for it was a recipe for anal leakage. And so I got a 5-pound bag of Albanese gummy bears not that long ago, and I fucking, that's a great brand. Sponsor us anyway.
Yeah.
Shout out to these Midwestern gummies. I think they're like out of Minnesota or something, but that's a fucking great gummy bear, and I had those, and then I kept being like, I ran out of the 5 pounds of gummies, actually in a reasonable amount of time. I don't think I ate them too quickly, and they're just normal gummy bears.
No one's
wild.
Judging you about the rate of consumption.
No. You know what? Thank you so much, Jamie. And then I was like, on the internet being like, I need a gummy fix. I'm out of this 5-pound bag of bears, and it's become a part of my life that now I need to have gummies around in these COVID times. And so I was like, do I get Sour Patch Kids, a personal favorite of mine? I was like, do I get some more Albanese gummies? Do I switch it up and get some Haribo? Do I get worms? Do I get creepy crawlers? I was really like looking at gummy content to see, you know, how do I fill the pantry? And then I kept getting these targeted ads.
Oh boy.
As you do for this gummy brand that's like, I feel like a lot of people have maybe seen on social lately, and they do like, I don't know, like they do like a fake Starburst, they do like fake Sour Patch Kids, they do like fake gummy bears, but they're called like Smart Sweets, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do like the sour watermelon, they do peach rings, they do it all. But they're like, they tout having like less sugar in them, right? Oh. So they have like some percentage of sugar, like they have like, you know, 3 grams or whatever, and but then like the rest of it is like Splenda. And I was like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not stressed by that. Splenda's never bothered me. I have a cookie recipe that I use Splenda in, but also real sugar because it achieves the right texture. That's a whole thing I can't explain. But I was like, yeah, I'm unbothered by Splenda. I'll try these. But I guess the other thing about these that I paid no attention to, because I was here for gummies, not for like, you know, fat-free gummies or something like that.
Oh.
It's not that they had olestra or anything in them. I just, like, I wasn't seeking a healthy option. I was just seeking gummies, and these kept showing up, is what I'm saying. I wasn't like, oh, let me make a smart choice. I was like, no, I just already finished a 5-pound bag of regular gummies. What's my next fix? And I was like, I don't know. I'll try these. The packaging's cute. Whatever. But the thing about them that's in there that I didn't notice because I wasn't looking for these benefits,
these benefits.
Was that they add fiber to them.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. I had a terrible time with some Fiber One bars in college. Go on.
I love Fiber One bars, but, and Kashi cereal with the, yeah, anyway, but this has, like, that added fiber, and I didn't shit myself, but I felt like my stomach, like, gurgled for, like, days, and it was, like, it just felt like my stomach was saying, like, loading for, like,
oh, yeah, rainbow
48 hours.
Ugh.
I'm going to be honest, it was really unpleasant. It was audible. Like, thank God I wasn't, like, shitting my brains out or anything. But then I told another friend about this. Apparently there's this new, like, soda brand that I had seen. But I also didn't know it was, like, a fucking fiber thing that's, like, lolly soda or whatever. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay, but there's some, it's a soda that they've added fiber to, and her sister-in-law had some. Right, and she goes, her sister-in-law's like, I'm shitting my brains out because I drank some fiber soda.
Oh my God, just eat an apple.
So I'm just saying to anyone else who, like, didn't No, I don't know. Like, shout out to not eating these weird chemically altered foods, because I wasn't seeking it. But now I think we just need to be skeptical of, like, you know, the foods that have, like, added fiber. Because, you know, listen, I don't need added. I eat greens. Like, I eat vegetables. Like,
I don't need anything to be fortified. No, no, no.
No, I don't need it. I don't need this added fiber. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis, I am regular. But I just... I don't know. It really stressed me out, and I felt like I had to come clean to the listeners that I ate some, like, chemically modified candy that honestly gave me a real bad time.
Oh, man. I'm really sorry about that. And also, like, if you're listening to this, like, you may also be being pitched these gummies on Instagram, and so...
Don't do it.
Seek lower fiber treats.
Just stick with, like, the good Albanese, the Sour Patch, the Swedish Fish. Like, don't eat the off-brand shit on this one. Just stick with your candy classics, okay?
Yeah.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
You made that up. Listen.
And remember, the greatest myth about the moon is that America went there in Apollo 11. Good night. Yes. Good night.
We would take Jamie's grandma's underwear, run them underwater, put them all in the freezer.
All of them, though. So there were none.
Literally every pair.
Ooh, quick pause for a thermometer read. Do you believe in hypnosis?
Like, ethically?
Lisa Frank went to high school with the Romneys. And then I'm going to have a second mouth on my back.
That needs feeding.
Needs feeding.
Oh, welcome to Why Are You Like This, the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, pseudoscience, recipes for anal leakage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really just whatever we're noodling on at any given time in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan making better culinary choices than me for once in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams gurgling up a storm in Chicago. And we'll all be listening for those rumbles from you today.
Well, do you know, I'm good now, but, like, it was a dark time, and I feel like saying that, like, my stomach was just, like, rumbling is not doing, I just, like, it was a constant churning, you guys, mm-hmm. Like all day, like, it did not quit, and at first I was like, is something wrong with me, and then I was like, oh my god, it's the fucking gummies. Bears.
Yep.
I was like, that's the only change.
In this...
Yeah, I just...
Go ahead.
I got concerns. I got concerns about it. I just wanted to let the people know. And if it doesn't, I'm also afraid I didn't do the discomfort justice, but it was, like, not great.
No, I hear you on that, because, like, I really had, I'm telling you, like, the worst time ever after, like, not having a lot of food left at my apartment sophomore year of college.
Sure.
And my grandma giving me a box of Fiber One bars, which led to me eating several of them one evening. And
okay, that's your problem.
Learning about soluble versus insoluble fiber. and that was a rough time. I'm going to say keep an eye out for chicory root as an ingredient. That's all I'll say about that.
I'm stressed about this by and for you.
Like, Thank you.
Wow.
I do also want to tell you, just in the vein of us talking about, like, artificial foods, a little topical mention. Have you seen the stuff about the vegan, or no, sorry, not vegan, cruelty-free meat that's being made in a lab? It's not not widely available in the U.S. legally.
Is this yet. That stuff that they're, like, you know, like, growing, like, chicken mm-hmm. breasts rather than chickens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my dad actually is the one who, we were on the phone, I guess last weekend for quite some time, and we were talking about this, and he brought it up. He's like, have you heard about this? It's, like, really expensive. And I honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was like, I kind of thought McDonald's and crazy people were already doing shit like this.
Oh, and maybe they are, and we just don't know about
it. I don't think they're
it.
Doing it in an ethical, cruelty-free way. I just thought they were, like, growing weird chicken parts and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, if they were, I feel like the Amazon would be less decimated because it's, like, you know, okay. cattle stuff down there.
Maybe I'm naive and ignorant. I just was like, weren't people already genetically modifying the fuck out of these birds?
Yes, but they're alive birds who are okay. getting, you know, bred a specific way. But no, this is just like cloning, but, like, specific body part cloning. And then maybe later they wow. can, like, make human organs and stuff, like, without making human?
That would be incredible if, you know, if you needed, like, a kidney transplant, if they were able to make kidneys in the lab and it didn't have to be, like, a donation from another human, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm. That would be amazing.
Because think about that, too. It limits so many... I mean, if they can get the organs right, it limits a lot of risks because then you don't have to, like... you know, put someone else under anesthesia or whatever to remove an organ and, like, that whole thing for that person. So you eliminate the risks that a donor would have, if assuming they're alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, then, I mean, and then, too, ideally, you'd be able to make, like, a really healthy organ that, like, you know, everybody's, like, out of their own body probably has a little bit of wear and tear on it. I don't know. I think that's great. I root for it.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have to, like, work the kinks out of cloning, but once we get there, like, that'd be cool. I don't think that I...
You know some evangelical Christians about to be pissed like this, like, hand to God shit.
Oh, I mean, get ready for it. Like, the...
Get ready!
That's, yeah, coming down the pipe. Okay, but we are not here to talk about meat cloning, although maybe some other time we'll talk about meat cloning, because I think
or
it's super interesting.
Or fiber substitutes.
Yeah, chicory root, general.
We got a lot of feelings on both of these things. I'm, you know what? I hope we can make kidneys in a lab someday. I really do. I think that would be great.
Okay. You and I can start a business called Kidney Tree. Anyway.
Okay. Well, listen, people, look out for the next business endeavor that we'll hash out just live on another episode of the show.
We will. Kidney Tree Talk coming soon. Anyway.
Okay.
Welcome to the soft season finale. And by that, I mean we have one astrology still, but this is the last. Jesus.
Jamie doesn't know what a finale is. Go on.
No, I don't. This
premiere finale. This is that. Mm-hmm.
This is the last full meat, if you will, episode of this season.
This is the last time we're providing you with the whole chicken. After this, we're just growing body parts.
It's only breasts and wings after this. Maybe
breasts,
a thigh if
specifically.
You're lucky. Yeah.
Breasts and thighs. Do you want to be the breast or the thigh? I kind of want to be the thighs.
The thigh. Oh.
I don't know. I have
dark
the
meat
tits.
Is so much better.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's the thigh.
We can both be thighs. Yeah.
I mean, I think that bone-in chicken thighs, like, are the best cut of chicken.
Yes, I fully agree. Anyway, okay.
Wow,
so
look at us. Okay.
We agree about the best cut of chicken. Thank you for joining us on this season finale. And what are we talking about? You tell us, Jamie.
I don't know. I'm excited for this. And, oh, you guys, season five. I like this season.
I did, too. So before we are reborn into season six, I figured we could...
As thighs. Faceless thighs. Go on.
maybe we could talk about... reincarnation, but what I mean by that is
I'm so ready.
Specifically, I want to share first the working title of this episode is
hit me with it.
Reincarnation: White America Fucks with Past Lives. So
yes, okay, I am here for this. Okay.
So this is not an overview of reincarnation as a religious concept. I am not qualified to speak on any religions that include reincarnation as a belief. So I am here to talk about new age hype about past lives in America.
Fuck yes. Yes, we are. We are here to talk to you about, like, the Angel Fire webpages that were made by middle schoolers with a lot of eyeliner about their past life dreams. You guys, Wow. I'm learning about this topic in real time and I'm hyped.
Excuse me. So, I'm keeping that one in.
Leave that cough in. That was so nasty.
Guys, we cut so many coughs.
We cut so many coughs. Okay.
So.
They're all Jamie's, by the way. All the coughs that we cut.
It's a lot less since I've quit smoking.
Oh, man, we're going off the rails with this season finale. Okay,
so
let's get it.
As the intro, do you believe in reincarnation at all? Like, does the word have a definition for you? And is there, like, a definition you believe in? Just, like, general vibes.
Oh, I love this. Reincarnation and, like, past life shit. I would file it away as, like, open to. Like, if someone, like, told me, I kind of feel the same way about reincarnation and like past life stuff as like I do about a really good ghost story or like, you know, a medium. Me too. Like somebody tells me something like that and I'm like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. okay, anecdotally, I'm here for this. I want to hear the stories. I would watch a television special. I would be like, I don't know, like this seems legit, but like it, like gun to head, I like 100% like I believe that this is true. I feel like I'm just open to it and I don't have a strong opinion, but like endlessly fascinated and like definitely believe in ghosts and like also believe that there's just like a lot of shit out there I probably don't understand, and I would file this as part of that.
Me
what,
too.
What about you? Yeah,
I feel like I want to believe that we like yeah, live very multiple like lives.
X-Files on this. I want to believe
100%, and I think that that comes from me just like wanting to preserve
not
like
die.
Whatever my idea of self is like in yeah. like to get another go or multiple goes sure. with like different brains and stuff. That's cool.
Yeah.
But also, I think that deep down, what do I actually think? Like, probably that. Our brains are just like overdeveloped, so we think of concepts like this to make ourselves feel better, and that's not, it's not true, is what I think, what I probably actually think. However, being in this,
I could file it away under like concepts of like trying to preserve, you know, or like overcome our mortality, right? Like I could exactly. totally see that. And then on the other side, like the things that like pedal me towards it, right? Mm-hmm. Are things like the collective unconscious mm-hmm. and like being like, you know, just ideas about like energy not being created or destroyed. I'm like, I don't know what does happen to all these soul shit. Like, where does this go?
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but that is where it fits in as a possibility for me.
Okay.
And in, like you mentioned, matter not being able to be created or destroyed, I do wonder, like, what happens to that. So,
and I'll take it a bop further on how we can both see both sides of this, about, like, how it's, like, this human made-up thing to, you know, mm-hmm. overcome our mortality, or, you know, an actual explanation that you're like, yeah, what does happen to all this stuff when people die? Part of me also feels similarly to like the ghost and mediumship in that like some people could tell me a ghost story and I'd be like, that was not a ghost, or I'd be like that was obviously explainable by this, or like you just made that up and it's stupid. But then some other people tell me a story and I'm like, that is a fucking ghost, like that shit happened, it's real, that's crazy. And I almost kind of feel like if past lives were to be a thing, I also could see it being a thing that it's like I would believe, like, not everyone experienced it. It didn't mean, like, everyone was guaranteed to be reborn a bunch of times. But I'd be like, but maybe some people are, but not all of us. Like, I could see that happening.
This is how I feel about a lot of pseudoscientific things. People who have yeah. supernatural experiences, I think that I want to believe and maybe believe that a mm-hmm. handful of them, and I'm talking, like, 5, maybe 3%. Of experiences like are actually okay. supernatural, and the rest okay. are like maybe people believe that it was a supernatural experience, like maybe it's not an sure. intentional hoax. I think that right. people can think that they've had past life dreams and like full-heartedly believe that
right.
but that doesn't mean right. that it actually happened.
Yeah, I can get down with exactly what you're saying, that like I don't think everything people think is like you know phenomenon outside mm-hmm. of science is, but I don't necessarily think that means they're ill-intentioned. And then like on top of that, I would also kind of just, I don't know, reiterate something we probably said before, just that like I'm for sure convinced that there is stuff that like of this, you know, world, plane, universe, whatever, that like I don't understand, and it's mm-hmm. not easily explainable, that no one understands yet, and that there might be some stuff that's like, you know, at least where technology is and information is right now, is like kind of outside our realm of understanding. And I'm really cool with that. You
Me
know?
Too. Guys, we used to not have electricity and think that lightning was magic. So anything's possible.
Like, I mean, come on. Exactly. Lightning was magic.
Now we
okay?
have wireless mm-hmm. internet. And what is that? Anyway.
I mean, truly, what is it? Okay. I see you 5G conspiracists. Mm-hmm.
I'm
All
not
right.
here to talk about that. So... The last thing I want to mention is a little Easter egg for any formerly or current Christian listeners, is that okay. Christianity is traditionally anti the concept of reincarnation, at least like American Christianity right. that I am familiar with.
Right, because you have to go to that castle you built in heaven, and if you're reincarnated, what's the point of this altruistic, like, reward system that you've made up.
It does throw a wrench into that.
It does, doesn't it? Okay.
And so when I was a little kid, the first time that, like, I heard about reincarnation was from, like, my kind of hippie aunt, like, talking about it in, like, an Eastern religion way. And then I remember being at the Living Cross, the Easter play at my grandmother's church.
God bless.
Which is a Nazarene church. And there was this bit with...
And y'all must be joking if you think I didn't attend this play as a friend multiple times. Mm-mm. Love the Living Cross play. Big fan.
So there was one year where they included this scene that, like, I then went and looked up in the Bible myself as a child afterward because I was confused about it, but where John the Baptist is, like, predicting Jesus's birth, and he's, like, baptizing people, like, in, like, the beginning of the Gospels. Anyway.
Well, yeah, because people thought, that people were like, John is, like, it, and he's like, I'm not it, but it is coming.
Yes, but also there were people, like, in that crowd, like, who thought that John was Elijah, and then other people were saying that, like, he was the reincarnation of Elijah.
Oh, right.
And I don't remember the exact language, so, like, my apologies for not being... like, great about that right now, but there is, like, some kind of text, like, implying that, like, Elijah's spirit was reborn into John the Baptist because of, like, needing to do this work. And I just remember as a kid, like, looking at that and thinking about, like, what my aunt had told me about, like, multiple lives in, like, Buddhism and Eastern religions, and just kind of sitting with, like, that those two things were, like, butting heads, and it gave me hope as an overly Christian child that maybe reincarnation was real, because I really liked the concept, because
there was evidence of it in the Bible.
And it made me wonder why people were trying to, you know, squash that passage, maybe.
Perhaps.
Anyway, I don't want to derail on Christianity, but I just wanted to mention that if you're very familiar with the Bible and you're listening right now, that that was probably interesting to you too.
Yeah, for real.
So, speaking of Christians and their take, I would like to read from an article that is about an episode of Unsolved Mysteries that was...
Oh my God, I love this episode that we're doing right now. This is... Guys, this is like... I feel like Jamie curated this for me. Okay, go ahead. I love Unsolved Mysteries. I'm ready.
So this episode of Unsolved Mysteries aired on February 14th, 1990.
Oh my God,
that's
Jamie!
That's the actual day I was born, you guys.
Yeah, you guys. Like, Jamie was born February 14th, 1990. You're welcome. Like, we're not giving you her social security number, but we will give you that much about the exact year of this Valentine baby co-hosting this podcast from an Aquarian point of view. Okay, this feels right. I'm feeling maybe you're reincarnated from some unsolved mystery shit. We can't know. I mean, I have feelings about how my cat is, like, part of my grandma, but that's a whole nother thing.
I'd like to explore that sometime. Yeah, we don't have time today, but I am interested in that. All right, so this is a 2019 article by Michelle Witte titled, "I Wanted to Believe the Hoax as a Child, Now I'm Not So Sure." And she does a nice job of summarizing the episode. I also watched the episode, and it's interesting. It's on YouTube if you want to find it.
God bless.
Yes. Okay, so on February 14th, 1990, it's going to be Season 2, Episode 16, if you want to look it up on Prime Video or YouTube. Michelle tells us that they ran the story of a 41-year-old woman named Georgia Rudolph, who believed she used to be, in a past life, a young woman named Sandra Jean Jenkins.
Okay, very specific.
From the time Georgia was 5 years old, apparently she had dreams and visions of seeing herself in a time and place that was not familiar to her. And in the episode, there's, like, some amazing old-timey reenactments of, like, these dreams.
That's what the reenactments of the 90s, like, Unsolved Mysteries are honestly, like...
They're hazy.
I mean, they're, like, it's some of the best content television creators have ever made.
I love it.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it. Okay.
Sometimes Georgia saw herself as a young girl. Sometimes she was a young woman. And there was frequently a river and a handsome man in a brown suit and a brown derby hat involved.
Okay.
You
like a handsome man.
Absolutely. In 1984, well, I don't love a handsome man, but people do.
You love a handsome man in a different way.
I appreciate it. I do. It's nice That's when right. anyone's nice to look at. That is very true.
That's what I'm saying. I like looking at aesthetically pleasing people. I'm not above it, okay? Yeah,
I'm not either. In 1984, Georgia began regressive hypnotherapy sessions with Dr. Douglas Smith, who believed okay. these visions may have stemmed from some long-forgotten trauma. So
what I want to know hearing this right off the bat is, like, how the fuck these two found each other. Like, she's like, I'm having dreams about a person. And he's like, I believe in this. I'd like to study you. Like, I'm like, how'd y'all get linked up? Also, in 1990, this is not like the internet like time. Like, they were seeking each other out.
100%. So, and this is actually in 84.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So she's like recounting her story on Unsolved Mysteries in 1990.
Got it. Okay.
But she goes to this hypnotherapist, about these dreams, and he thinks that she just has trauma that she doesn't understand. He doesn't immediately okay. think that it's like past
okay
lives.
I feel better about his practice now. Okay.
In the first session, when Dr. Smith said Georgia's name, Georgia immediately said, I don't know who you're talking to. The doctor asked who he was talking to, and that's when Georgia revealed that the name supposedly belonged to a young girl or a young woman who was in her dreams and visions, named Sandra Jean Jenkins.
This is the part where I feel like if you're a healthcare professional, when somebody, you call them by their name and you're like, I don't know who you're talking about, I'm like, are you schizophrenic? Like, do you yeah, have multiple personalities? Maybe, like,
yes, little dissociative identity situation.
Yeah, something in there.
So over the course of several sessions, quote, Sandra reveals the following information about herself.
Okay.
She was born in 1895. She had brown hair and brown eyes. The young man she was often seeing in her visions was named Tommy Hicks, and he was her fiancé. Days before okay. their wedding in 1914, however, Tommy drowned after he fell off of a riverboat.
No, that's sad.
After his death, Sandra discovers she is pregnant with his child. Distraught, she drowns herself
in a lake.
Oh, I mean,
and this was
lake.
Before their wedding? Or?
So...
I was like, that's a little racy for the times.
Yes, it is racy. So they're about to get married, and she's probably secretly pregnant. And then Tommy falls off a riverboat and dies, and Sandra discovers that she is indeed pregnant, and she's distraught because her lover has died, and she will be an unwed mother.
And also probably, societally, like an unwed mother in the 1800s. Godspeed, honey.
Correct. So, distraught, she drowns herself in the lake. And
it sucks.
It does suck. Her body was buried on a hill in an unmarked grave. Georgia remembers, though, through hypnosis, standing near Sandra's grave at one point and seeing an angel nearby with one arm raised to the sky.
Okay.
Georgia repeatedly uttered the word Marietta during sessions, and she and Dr. Smith later discovered this probably referred to the town of Marietta, Ohio.
Oh, Ohio, are the heart of it all, as some might say. Okay.
And just
okay.
for reference, Marietta, Ohio is near, like, Athens, but on the Ohio yeah. River. So, like, if you're, like, an OU person, that's kind of your area of Ohio, eastern, south Ohio.
Yeah.
Tommy Hicks, her betrothed.
Some might say southeastern.
Shh. Tommy Hicks' parents, this is so her would-be in-laws, their names okay. were Tom and Jeannie Hicks. That was also revealed. Dr. Smith okay. believed Georgia to be very sincere in her recounting of details and in her belief that she was experiencing her own past life through these dreams and visions. So through all of these sessions, the doctor believes.
I can be fully convinced that she believes this, right? Like,
I can
fully be there with you.
Yes, 100%. So then they're going to start checking it out. In 1985, Georgia takes a trip to Marietta, and she arranged to have a local reporter accompany her around the town. She stopped okay. outside an insurance company that used to be an ice cream parlor at the turn of the century and described the interior details of the ice cream parlor that she supposedly could not have known since it closed in 1937.
Okay.
The reporter checked with the son of the man who had owned the parlor and discovered that the details provided by Georgia were accurate.
Was there any way she could have had some record of that outside of, you know?
We'll talk about that in a
okay.
little bit.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to unsolve this mystery too soon. Okay.
Later, Georgia went to a neighboring community, Newport, Ohio. The first thing she saw was a big gray house, and she instantly knew that had been her house.
Interesting.
She also realized that the church and a nearby cemetery, which holds her grandmother's grave, and which she often saw in her dreams, was here in Newport, too. She retraced her dream steps, and this must be a really fucking vivid dream, and found her, quote, grandmother's grave. And she finally saw the name she was never able to read in her dreams, Mary Bevan Green. So I guess she's been trying to, like, see the names on the graves in her dreams. But anyway, this... Moreover,
the parts of this story that are starting to seem a little too convenient are that she's just like walking around and she's like, that was my house. You know what I mean? Not like, I think I know where it is, like from my mind, but just like stumbling upon it in real life. That feels a little overly convenient, it but does. I could be missing something.
Oh, and then while in the graveyard in real life, Georgia claims to see that same angel with an upraised arm, just like in her dream. Of course, this is not captured on film.
I mean, sure.
I could again believe that she believes that she sees an angel.
For sure. I think some of it, like, you know, that to me is like some ghostly shit where, like, somebody sees something that they're like, other people are like, I don't see it. I don't, you know, just because it's in your head, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not against that. I'm here for this.
So the Green family owned the gray house Georgia recognized. So that checks out with, like, the grave name that she found.
Okay.
And I don't know how she would have necessarily known that, like, that grave and the gray house had, like, the same family ownership. But
I mean, I'm sure there are some public records, though. So, you know, like, I'm like, how much of a researcher is this gal?
Indeed. You know? So the Green family also owned a fleet of paddle wheel boats that went up and down the Ohio River, much like the one that Tommy fell off of. I love that kind of boat. Those are all... I love those,
too. I like those. Those are so fun.
When I was a child, I used to, like, really think that it would be fun to just be, like, a ragtag kind of like Tom and Huck kid back in that time just, you know, have a riverboat life.
Yeah, I'm, you know, that's the our music genre here, riverboat.
You're right, you know. Oh my god.
Just a riverboat life. Okay, all right.
Okay, sorry.
You're just derailed on riverboat music now and your riverboat lifestyle, and I get it.
Yeah, sorry, that really took me out of it for a second. Okay, so Georgia was able to find records indicating that a farm in Newport had been owned by a man named Tom and his wife Jeannie Hicks in 1906. So again, that checks out. She reached out to Mary Green's nearest living relatives, and they welcomed her into their house and showed her some of their old family photos. So this family is like, can you imagine? Like, someone calls you up and is like, I'm in town and I think that I am a reincarnated member of your family from the turn of the century. Could I look through your home?
I mean, if that happened to me, I would be like, absolutely not. Like,
it would be tempting, but I would be worried, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. As just like a single gal, anyone who's like tried to give me some, like, I used to live here. So I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. No. Okay. So the family shows her some old timey family photos. And one of the photos had been taken at a large family reunion in 1908. Almost everyone in the photo was identified except for a girl who looked very much like the girl that Georgia had been seeing and drawing all her life.
Okay, that's interesting.
So also, quick aside, Georgia had been, like, drawing this girl, like, when she was a little kid. There's, like, a bunch of...
Okay, that gives me a little bit more weight to all of this being thrown around.
Yeah, so she'd been having, like, dreams about this other kid and, like, trying to, like, draw her face.
Like, since she was a kid. That gives some more gravity to this whole thing for me.
It does.
Personally.
It does. And so Georgia, looking at this photo, like, says that she knows that that's Sandra Jean Jenkins, which is her. So one of the relatives... I know. One of the relatives at the time...
I'm sorry.
says... quote, I don't know this girl's name, but I know she drowned out back of the house.
Oh, shit.
So that does check out. I just got chills on this So stupid.
Oh my God. Are we being connected to the other side? What?
The author says, I wasn't the only person watching Unsolved Mysteries that Wednesday night. A 36-year-old mm-hmm. college professor named Jack Turnock was also watching. He saw George's story, and he knew that he was her long-lost love, Tommy Hicks.
Okay, I trust him the least so far.
Correct. Turnock had
feels very like when people are like, oh my God, I'm Princess Anastasia. Right. Like, okay. Cool your jets, like, sir, inserting yourself into this narrative, you know?
So Turnock had undergone hypnosis in 1988 and had remembered things in those sessions that were very similar to what Georgia was sharing in her story. And I want to take a quick moment to say, like, is this folie à deux, but in a parasocial way?
Oh, that's interesting. I could see how we could argue it could be folie à deux, like everybody's like jumping in on this same kind of delusion.
Yeah.
But I feel like because the partnership is like not there, because of the parasocial bit about it doesn't seem like quite like a, like you're really part of it.
There's
rather
than
like you're just self-inserting. Yeah, it feels, if anything, just super parasocial. Yeah. Maybe he like saw her and was like, I love her. Maybe I'm her dead husband now. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Nee, 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 you know.
Okay, so then Jack Turnock, the guy who thinks that he is Tommy Hicks reincarnated, his wife calls the TV station because her husband is like so bothered by like what he had seen. And his wife contacts Dr. Smith, who held an individual hypnosis session with Tommy. So, satisfied that Turnock was, quote, for real, Dr. Smith
I'll be the judge of that. Sorry.
Contacted the producers of Unsolved Mysteries, and they arranged for Dr. Smith to hypnotize Georgia and Turnock simultaneously on September 8th, 1990. Unsolved Mysteries aired Turnock's story as an update to Georgia Rudolph's story on Halloween 1990, which is fun, minus the lover's reunion, which is disappointing. And why didn't...
I have some questions about why we're calling it a lover's reunion. I don't know. You know, it just feels a little sensational. Go on.
But why didn't they air that? So the original plan was...
Why didn't they air that?
Was for the joint hypnosis session to be videotaped and aired as, like, the main portion of the update to Georgia's story. And both subjects were hypnotized very quickly, and they both apparently agreed on the details regarding their proposal and their baby's conception. And Georgia recounts, it was the most surreal experience of my life. It was as if another person had taken over my body and I was watching it happen. Tom told Sandra Jean how he was sorry that he left her that way. She forgave him. They/we held hands, reiterated our love, and said goodbye. It was incredibly emotional.
Wait, I love how she's like, they/we held hands. Like, somehow it was like them, but like also their previous self. Like, that's a little interesting to me.
I was so drained I couldn't move for half an hour. Jim Lindsay, the Unsolved Mysteries director, was literally dancing around saying it was the best sequence they had ever filmed. Unfortunately, no actual footage of the session was captured. Even though everything was hooked up correctly, power was on, and the scene was visible on the monitor, the only thing that showed up in playback was static. And I don't know if I believe that.
Even if it was, like, what are you saying? Like, they had, like, technical difficulties and were saying it was, like, spiritual? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That part, I'm like, I have more questions about. Like, that to me doesn't prove anything. That's one of those parts of this, like we talked about at the beginning of this episode, of like, that seems like there's a reasonable explanation for it for me. Like, that doesn't feel supernatural. Now, the time I was watching, you know, Julius Caesar in my English class freshman year, and when, you know, they like are gonna kill Caesar and the light bulb inside the overhead projector exploded, that did feel sensational. Okay.
That does feel but sensational, like, yes.
Static being recorded, less so to me.
And I think what this says to me is just that I can't trust like George's recount of that time then, because now that's all we have. We don't have the taped hypnosis session. We just have fucking Tommy and Georgia
saying. We have to, like, trust
saying,
her reporting.
Exactly. Yeah. Just saying what they remembered of their hypnotized time.
That's a vibe.
So the author, Michelle, tells us that she believed Georgia when she was a child. She says, even though I've been a follower of Christ since I was 8 years old, I wanted to believe Georgia's story. And I feel you, girl. There was something so compelling.
I love you. Yeah.
There was something so compelling about the tragic story of an unwed mother who'd lost her true love and felt she had nothing to live for. Yes, I'm a bit of a romantic.
Sad. I feel for her. I'm sad for this chick who, like, you know, I feel... I don't like that she killed herself. Like, that's really hard. I look at her circumstances and go, like, wow, I understand how you could get there mentally at that time. Like, and mm-hmm. I don't like that. You
no,
know?
That's terrible. So the author goes on to then spend, like, a few pages, like, poking holes in the story.
Okay.
And it's, like, pretty boring, so I'm not going to go through all of it. But I will say that Georgia didn't mention that she had taken a previous trip to Marietta, Ohio, before she went with a reporter. And so that means that she could have, like, scoped out everything, like, found the grave, found where someone lived.
Yeah, and, like, this is exactly what I would be like, mm-hmm.
fully, like, planned it.
Right.
That to me is, like, less interesting because, like, we could debunk that all day and we know that it's mm-hmm. like mostly not real. But what's interesting actually is, like, just what's, like, what's the motivation here and, like, why right. do we want to believe it? If Georgia doesn't actually believe that that happened to her and she knows that it's, like, a fabrication, then I guess for her it's just fame as motivation.
Right. Which, I mean, that makes sense. Like, a lot of people, you know, get involved in, like, a big story for some
100%
notoriety.
Yes, 100%. And this author...
This is Anastasia, okay?
This is absolutely Anastasia. And this author goes on to conclude that, you know, everyone either goes to heaven or hell when they die and nails down some pretty
okay,
firm
good.
Christian
real
ideals.
Real biblical. Okay.
Yeah, real all biblical. Right. So we'll leave Michelle there and thank
okay,
her
Michelle.
For her recount
thank
of
you for
Unsolved
your service.
Mysteries. That was a really nice synopsis that I didn't have to write.
God bless you. Thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm.
So obviously people debate the validity and the credibility of a hypnotizing psychiatrist, but Georgia is not the only person to make these kinds of claims, right? Other people mm-hmm. are saying that this happens to them too. And in the 90s specifically, there was, like, a lot of interest in past lives. I don't know why, and I'm kind of sad we missed it, but...
Yeah, I wonder what... I actually don't have a sense of, like, culturally what sparked that phenomenon. Maybe it was just, like, some Western folks having, like, a little bit of info more about some Eastern religions or, like, you know, Hinduism or something. Maybe, like, a trickle of that into pop mm-hmm. culture in some way that I don't know. And then you wonder, like, you know, all sorts of things spawn cultural phenomenons, like Dan Brown and the fucking Da Vinci Code really
Jesus.
Had people reeling in the thousands. So I wonder if there was, like, a piece of fiction or something that contributed to people's interest. Now I'm curious.
No, I am too. And I would bet that you're right, that it's just about an increased interest in Eastern religion in America. And then also, like, probably Hollywoodification of those ideas.
Maybe just some white people started doing yoga and then they were
that
like,
that is when
oh,
white people started doing a lot of yoga.
Right. And then they were like, let's go full Monty. Let's take it there. Yeah.
We'll live again.
But, like, not do any research.
Correct. Correct. And so there's many TV segments that you can find on YouTube of specifically a lot of young children talking about past lives. So there's, like, some...
I'm, like, part of me is, like, is there a Wishbone episode about this? You know?
Oh, my God. I would love
that.
I kind
of feel like that dog had past lives on that show, always, like, somehow being a... love interest as a person in
was,
medieval times, yeah. even though he was a contemporary dog. You know, I just got questions about that.
Just a contemporary dog in a medieval romance.
You know, I feel like maybe Wishbone was, you know, just a pilot for children and reincarnation. I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay. What's the story, Wishbone?
So there are a lot of TV segments that you could check out if you wanted. There's, like, some Oprah interviews with kids. There's, like, literally every news station, Datelines, 60
oh,
Minutes
maybe
about
Oprah.
It.
You know what? I wonder if maybe part of what fueled it in the 90s was just some some talk show thirst stuff. You know the stuff that was like on talk shows in the 90s?
Sally Jesse.
Yeah, I see this happening.
You're right.
I mean, maybe, maybe Unsolved Mysteries helped popularize this.
1,000% I'm sure that it did. Yeah, Barbara Jean or whoever, whose name I get. Georgia Rudolph is the actual woman's name. I'll just call her that. Yeah. Anyway, so typically in these interviews and in all of the science adjacent or scholarly work that I came across on this subject was written by or referenced the work of one of these two people. So it's a very narrow field.
Oh, interesting.
Jim B. Tucker and Ian Stevenson. Thank you, gentlemen, for your work on reincarnation in the 90s.
God bless.
So, psychiatrist Jim B. Tucker wrote the book called Life Before Life, A Scientific Investigation of Children's Memories of Previous Lives, which was written in 2005. And what he does in that is presents an overview of 40 years of reincarnation research at the University of Virginia. So the University of Virginia, like, allowed
him... Shout out UVA and the Cavaliers.
Yeah, okay. Let him do this for a long time. And
but listen,
so,
I like UVA. I mean, I have no affiliation, but I'm a fan of some of the weird shit they do there, okay?
I feel... I don't want to, like, misspeak, but I feel like we've talked about the University of Virginia before, and we mostly talk about pseudoscience, so...
Listen, I'm just saying, if you don't know about like the sevens and stuff at UVA, look into it.
Well, I don't.
It's
so
better. It's better than the secret societies that people talk about, like, you know, Skull and Bones or whatever at Harvard or whatever. I'm here for the sevens, which is UVA, and included people like, you know, Thomas Jefferson and stuff, and also no one knows you're in the sevens until you die. Okay.
Well, and more on their secret rituals in a future episode. No promises.
Perfect.
So the book that Tucker wrote discusses, quote, birthmarks and birth defects that match those of a deceased person who is identified by the child. Let that sink in for a moment.
Okay. Birthmarks and birth defects.
So he's arguing.
Both people have?
He's arguing that in his 40 years of research, talking with children who claim to remember a past life, or parents who bring their kids in because their kids are saying weird things like, oh, we used to live on that road. And it's like,
no,
not,
we didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, maybe it's where like, there was one kid who they figured out from the things that he was saying that he was expressing memories of like his great grand uncle, and the people he was naming as like his siblings, the house he was describing, like the gravel road that he commented was now paved, like all of those lined up for this particular child to be a reincarnated version of an older relative who had died.
And I buy into this shit more when you hear, like, young kids spewing nonsense that there's no way they could know.
And that's what all of Tucker's research was on. So it's all with little kids who remember it and then often do not remember it anymore after the age of five or six.
Sure.
And what he's talking about with the birthmarks and birth defects is there was one video I watched where he was talking with a child and a child's mother who he also believed was, a reincarnated family member or something, where they had found like the person who they thought he was in a previous life. And the person that they thought he was reincarnated as had lost their hand in like a farming machine accident. And then that boy was born with one hand that had no fingers. And so
they were like, is this like some sort of physical manifestation of this past life?
Correct. And so the work that
that's a big jump.
It
that's
is
a big jump.
And so a lot of his work deals with like maybe like a birthmark like on the forehead signifying like a gunshot wound.
A head trauma.
Or a head trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is
interesting. That's a thing.
It's biological research. I guess that's what I'll say that's true about it.
And you know what I would say? If there was a piece of fiction that this was the whole premise, I would definitely read it and enjoy.
Consume the shit out of it. Someone please write
this
book.
Yeah, if there was something like, if there was a series, you guys, free idea. There's a series about a doctor who studies like people who he thinks have had past lives, who have all sorts of weird physical things. And he's like kind of like the house doctor, like of like, you know, Hugh Laurie playing house, like of past lives. I would read that book series.
And watch a television show. That sounds fantastic.
And it could be like it could be like episodic rather than like serial, but you could like kind of follow along with the doctor in like some sort of Law and Order kind of way. Absolutely. But every case would be different.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this.
Nailed it.
Free idea. Anybody who's looking for something out there, you're welcome.
Cool. So the book also claims that consciousness can be considered separately from the brain, which provides the basis for the claims of reincarnation. So in order to believe in reincarnation at all, you have to have a basic belief that consciousness can exist somehow separately from your brain, because your brain is just like a physical thing with like electric firings, you know?
Right. Those synapses.
Those synapses. But those synapses will go away when you die. So, like, what's getting tossed into a different body? And it is at this point that I want to mention the 21 grams shit that we mentioned up top.
Okay.
So, I was familiar with this only from, like, this is like that Will Smith movie or something from, like, the early 2000s.
Go on.
So 21 Grams is a 2003 American crime drama.
I've never heard of this film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Starring Sean Penn, Naomi Watts, Benicio del Toro, and a handful of other people.
And not maybe Will not Smith. Will Smith.
Not Will okay. Smith.
I hope that you confused Sean Penn and Will Smith. That's my deepest dream.
That's probably what happened. Yes.
Wow. Anybody else ever had that classic mix-up of like, oh, sorry, I can't keep like Will Smith and Sean Penn straight?
I am Sam. I just always thought that was Will and his son, you know?
Wow. God bless. I love this whole life. Okay.
Okay, so this is a movie that you may or may not be familiar with. It's not super important, but if you've seen it, it provides the premise of what I'm talking about right now. But
it's
a movie that I have not seen, but I am under the impression that it is about past lives.
That it stars Will Smith. Go on.
But 21 grams is the like the weight of like the soul is what they talk about in the movie. And
interesting. How do we get to this kind of number?
Well, I thought that it was just like a bunch of bullshit and pseudoscience, but I learned in my research this week that in 1907, Boston doctor, Dr. McDougall.
It sounds fake. Go on.
He did an experiment where, and this is like gross as fuck, but there were patients who were terminal. And this is kind of like when we did the NDE episode and we talked about like the cardiac
floor. Little near-death experience for needing the acronym.
Thank you. Similar to where the doctors like on the cardio floor were like watching for flatliners to like run tests on people who were flatlining.
Sure.
What McDougall did was he believed that there was some kind of essence to consciousness or like a soul. And so he had people who were about to die in a hospice situation all lying on these really sensitive scale beds.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is the kind of shit that I'm, like, here for people doing this research. Okay, go on.
Uh-huh. And so he had all this room full of people, and as they died, he weighed them before and after. And the average difference after death was that there was a 21-gram decrease in weight or mass.
I find this a fascinating thing that someone would study this way.
Yes, and I find the results fascinating, and I don't feel that enough has been done with that. Yes.
Because I was like, you said 1907? I mean, correct. Not exactly the peak of science, you know? I'm like...
No, we have better ways to test that now, and I think we should maybe do it again.
And probably more accurate scales. 100%. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I'm real curious about this shit. Okay.
So... with that said, I feel like how I think about like the consciousness versus brain, or like what it would be like to be reincarnated, is it almost under this definition almost seems like like getting tossed into like a different ship with like different capabilities, mm-hmm. or like playing a different character in a video game. You know, you like look at their stats to choose your player.
Sure.
I don't know. It makes me wonder if like in a fantastical kind of fun way, like if next time I'll get tossed into like a brain with much different capabilities than I currently have. Like maybe I'll be amazing at math, but like want to play the guitar, but be really uncoordinated at the guitar in my next life. But I'll wonder why I want to play, you know?
That you'll be like, oh, and then you'll be in a tragic car accident that'll unlock your past life guitar playing abilities.
Absolutely. And
let's take a full circle to some brain trauma that unlocked artistic capabilities. I got a lot of questions about that too. I bet some people chalk that up to past life shit.
Well, they do. And I'm so happy that you mentioned that because I wanted to make sure that we talked about that.
Oh, great.
There is not a lot of research on it, but in the some of the articles that I read, people are pushing for research in that area in regards to reincarnation. There are people suggesting that we should pair like the 21 gram study and things like that, like explore that and also explore savants' brains and people who have like onset of abilities or.
Right. Why can this 4-year-old play the violin like better than all these adults?
Yeah. Or someone who knows like most of a language that no one around them knows. Like these. Yeah. And those people are probably hard to find. And it's probably hard to get funding for shit like that, I imagine.
Sure.
But I wish someone would do it instead of just writing about it because then we'd have like, you know, better info. Anyway. Tucker, let's be fair to him. I don't want to paint him as like a zealot.
I like nuance. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
So Tucker discusses objections to reincarnation. And he actually, a lot of his work is around debunking claims of reincarnation. And so while he is the kind of primary writer on work and research on the subject, he's also like crazy skeptical the whole time. And so
that's good.
It's very like, good.
It's like when we talked about cryptozoology, the guys who like got super into it, got into it because they were like, this is bullshit. They were like
debunking, you know, and then you finally are like, well,
then they were like, I believe in the Yeti. And I was like, okay,
all right. Now I believe in the Yeti.
And I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying I appreciate people who come to conclusions through a lens of skepticism. There's a little bit more, for me, like credence to whatever they're claiming. And if you are trying to advocate for like a principle or some sort of unexplained phenomenon, I think it does serve you to try and rule out all the examples of things that aren't real that people are claiming are real. Mm-hmm. Because if anything, I think it helps substantiate the things that you can't debunk.
It does. And like we talked about earlier.
And it
just
makes you seem fucking more credible and like you're after the truth, not just to prove some weird point.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you're just like chasing a confirmation bias the whole time.
Exactly, yeah.
And like we mentioned up top that like if either of us believe in supernatural things, we believe that only a fraction of the claimants are true.
Right, 100%. Like, you know, all these people who have like television shows where they're like talking to dead people, like John Edwards, the Long Island Medium, Tyler Henry, all of these people out there, I bet that like somebody in that mix is legit. I don't think all of them are.
No. And same with like the guests on those shows.
Absolutely.
So going.
My money's on Tyler Henry, just saying.
Okay. So Tucker states that none of the cases examined are perfect and that, quote, faulty memory by informants is seen to be the best normal explanation of many of the cases reviewed in the book. So even in his own writings of what people are like kind of testifying as their past life memories, he is saying that maybe a significant chunk of his own work even can be discredited by like this is a person's faulty memory.
Okay.
And it's too bad that there's not more hard data. And I also
It is too bad that there's not more hard data. I feel that way about a lot of things. Women's health, you know, just all sorts of things.
Most significantly, women's health. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, various racial inequalities. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff out here.
Okay. We also need to mention that the version of reincarnation discussed in Jim Tucker's book and by Ian Stevenson and by us today is typically incompatible with religious beliefs around reincarnation. And specifically, Tucker like differentiates it to its relationship to karma, and just like wants to ensure that no one reading his book thinks that like he has any feelings about like the merits of one life feeding into how the next life turns out. So this is like a biological and parapsychological definition / exploration.
Sure.
And quick other note on birth defects and birthmarks, because that really is like a staple of the research, which I find interesting.
That's so interesting. I've never heard about people using that as like a piece of evidence.
It's weirdly flimsy. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% it's weirdly flimsy.
And it seems to have peaked in the 90s. Like, this book came out, there were, like, a cycle of interviews on TV and specials, and then, like, I don't feel like people are talking about that really anymore. But do right. you have any birthmarks? Any
Do I have potential any birthmarks?
Past life markings?
I don't think I have any. I honestly am not. I have, you know, I have some moles that I'm honestly sentimental about. I like my moles.
Interesting.
And I have one spot on my stomach that is like more melanated than the rest of my stomach. So mm-hmm. when I get sun, I get like a little tanner in one location. And other than that, I really don't have any birthmarks.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean, they're tiny if I do. I have a lot of those sure. like large freckles. But yeah, cool. So maybe this is both of our first go, or maybe we just died of natural causes previously.
I'd like to think I wasn't brutally killed in a past life. I would root for that for myself, but we can't know.
That would be amazing. Also, I wanted to comment, and because I think that this is really interesting and weird okay. and maybe corrupting of the research a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm interested.
They talk, like Jim in these interviews and other researchers, when they're talking with the parents of the children who are potentially mm-hmm. reincarnated peoples,
mm-hmm.
they talk about how the child is returning because of unfinished business or like something that went like wrong in the previous
life. The parents are saying this?
No, the doctors and the researchers.
Oh.
And that to me feels like this wild card element that is like, maybe a religious adjacent
idea. I was going to say that feels like rooted in religion or some form of morality or spirituality. And that to me muddies the scientific waters for sure of being like, well, this like kid came back because, you know, unfinished or like needed to like do better this time. Like I'm like, well, yes.
And to be like fully transparent, like I want to believe this stuff, but I do feel that in the interviews, I could feel the narrative of the child maybe being constructed or swayed by mm-hmm. the researcher's belief that there had to be like an emotional incident to cause reincarnation. And so
now see, that's the shit that like takes it to a place for me that then it becomes very much to our earlier point of like people just trying to dismiss our mortality.
Correct. Correct. And so that was something that I found to be like pretty disappointing in watching it, because I feel like they could have gotten a lot better info if they had not approached it with that idea. And I think that they're right. probably not even cognizant like that they're applying that belief beforehand.
It's just like too much of their own worldview, like their lens, you know, applied yeah. to whatever.
Yeah. And this is probably just like too soft of a scientific explanation for exploration for them to even realize like their own biases ahead of time.
Okay, that's real.
Anyway, so I just thought that was interesting.
That or like anything, they're trying to play to what audience they think they have, and they think that like religious people are more interested in the conversation of past lives.
There could also be that. Because a lot of this is hype
stuff. You know,
we're
marketing shit. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And if you want more info on the birthmarks stuff, the book is called Reincarnation and Biology, A Contribution to the Etymology of Birthmarks and Birth Defects by Ian Stevenson, 1997. So
I'm also interested in hearing from anyone who has interesting birthmarks, because apparently we're really lacking in that department.
We are. Let us know about your old-timey battle scars. Send in pics if they're appropriate. Yeah.
Or if they're not, whatever.
We don't. I don't have control over what you do before you hit the send button. So we'll see
what
happens.
That's right, I don't.
All right, on to a section that I call Onto the Bandwagon, which is just that I want to discuss past life regression. Have you heard of this? Do you know anyone that's done this?
Is this the, like, kind of psychological, like, hypnosis kind of thing where they, like, try and get you to remember your past life shit?
Yes.
I don't know anyone who's done it. I think I know of the concept.
Sure, yeah. I had some former coworkers and some friends who did it. And there used to be this thing, it's probably still is, or like it will return after COVID, but twice a year in Cincinnati, there was this thing called like the Festival of Light, not to be confused with the Festival of Lights.
Not the zoo or like your public park, like having a lot of Christmas lights. This is like a lot of psychics getting together. And
this is
a
psychic convention. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to come into the restaurant late night that I worked at, all the psychics, and we would stay open late for them. Anyway, I didn't realize this.
I love this.
But some of my coworkers went to that convention and would do past life regressions and like it saw like an animal psychic.
I was gonna say I'm the most interested in the pet psychics, just curiosity. You know, I'm like, yeah, tell me about my cats.
Okay. I'm curious about that too. But anyway, yeah, some of them did these past life regressions and I was like so curious about it and I really wanted to do it, but I also felt like some like cringe feelings about doing that.
Okay.
And I think I don't know. Maybe I just like knew so heavily that it was bullshit. Because also like you're being hypnotized and like led through something that will kind of like, I believe, induce imagination while in a semi-hypnotized state.
I am unbothered by like people's deep belief in like talking to a psychic about their past lives as I am unbothered about people being like, let me tell you about the Son of God. Like, I'm like, cool, believe whatever you want. I'm so down with whatever is exciting for your life, you know?
Yes. And I think that.
And I think we give some of the pseudoscience shit an unfair rap comparatively to religions.
Well, I think we're like very,
like, we give people a pass. We're not going to, like, fuck with your religion, but, like, we'll, like, judge you on your spirituality, quote unquote, or, like, whatever, you know, quote unquote hippie shit you believe in, you know, and we'll
your
be like,
UFO
that's bullshit.
Beliefs. Yep.
Right. I'm like, what, can't we just let all these people live and like not think that anybody's woo woo shit is worse than somebody else's or quote unquote dumber?
Yeah.
Because one of them has like, you know, a greater, like more, you know, following that's like somehow been written into our government. Like, that seems unfair.
That is unfair. And, you know, maybe I'll just keep believing in the Nephilim quietly and you can all leave me alone about it.
And maybe I'm internalizing this a little bit, that we got some shade in the reviews about like being really pseudoscientific, but I just am like, I think the world is full of pseudoscience and I'm like cool to discuss it.
And if we don't explore these edges of science that are pseudo, how will we ever have like concrete information about them? Like, we're not here to say that this stuff is real, but we're here to say that like, let's please do more research on it because this is very lacking.
And also, like, does anyone else not find sensational things fun to talk about and
look
into?
Exactly. Sorry, that we're really upset about that one person who left that review. Who was just
they're
a dud.
I've really internalized it.
They are a dud. I don't want to be at a party with you. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, man. I swear we're never talking about it again. Season 6, we won't bring it up. Okay.
We won't. So I watched it. So I've never attended one of these conferences or conventions. Sorry. But I did watch some YouTube videos of various conferences where past life regressions were held. One in particular was led by a man in a sweater vest who sounded like John Malkovich, which was an interesting vibe.
I love him.
And he was kind of leading this hypnotic regression in like a giant convention center of people. There were probably 1,000 people there in folding chairs.
Sure. Listen, I got hypnotized by a Samsung television. I'm open to anything.
Check it out earlier this season. Or last season? I'm not sure. Okay, what am I trying to tell you? That at this convention, this man leads like 1,000 people through a hypnotic regression. And afterward, whoever's making this video that I'm watching interviews people in like the lobby and the break area. And all of these people are describing their experience in the regression. And what they have in common is like the fantastical kind of historical fiction element And I just think it's interesting that so many people would be like Cleopatra or Joan of Arc or like a Russian princess. Like, I read something that said, like, statistically, most of us would regress and find out that, like, we were an Asian peasant. Like, that just, we are just a farmer somewhere in maybe Siberia, like, in the fucking middle of nowhere.
Yeah, based on population, sure.
Right,
yeah.
With memories of, like, lifting water buckets out of wells, and that's...
This is like dreams that, like, most of your dreams are just you, like, getting the mail and ironing, you know what I mean? Just, like, normal shit that you do. And then we remember these dreams that are, like, really wild and jarring, but, like, most of the time when you're dreaming, you're probably just, like, dreaming about walking around your house like you usually do.
Absolutely. And so... Something that I am very skeptical of.
You're not all Anastasia, okay?
You're not. None of you are. Maybe one. Maybe.
I don't even know about that. Yeah.
So I don't know. That was interesting to me to watch. And I feel like it lines up with, like, there's like a fucking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode where they do a past life regression with a hypnotist. And they all are like recounting past lives that are just, like, really, really fantastical. And
they're like, I was like a princess in a castle. Like,
yep.
I arrived on like a magnificent
or
ship.
Or people saying they're Jesus. Like, a lot of people at the convention said that they regressed to find out that they were Jesus.
Okay, now I've got some concerns.
And so I just wanted to call that out and say that that makes me really, really believe that at least these convention regressions are not, shall we say, accurate. But they could be fun. I mean, I'll do one with you. That would be really fun.
Yeah, I would totally do that. I would partake. Yeah. I would be curious. I'd be curious where my brain would take me if I engaged in it. Like,
exactly.
Would I go through that experience and think I was Jesus?
Oh my God, that could be dangerous.
And what would you do Jamie, if you went through like a regression and like your experience was that like your past life, you were Christ? Like, how would that affect you? Would you have a hard time grappling with that information?
I think I probably would, yes.
Would you believe you were Jesus?
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
But I might.
I'm not
like,
trying to feed into the God complex
keep
here,
it
but we can't know.
Quiet? I don't know. Keep it to myself? Whew. I don't know. Okay.
Would you tell your girlfriend, would you be like, hey, I want you to know, like, you're in a relationship with the Lord?
I don't think so. I don't think so. No.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I do wonder, because part of it, if anything, would be just like an interesting take on where your own mind would take you. Like,
yep.
I actually would be deeply curious about what narrative I would write as my past life going through some sort of hypnotic experience, because whether or not you like want to I don't know, put big stock in that being accurate, I actually think it tells you a lot about your own psyche of like,
it's
how
like a Rorschach
you
test.
Imagine yourself.
Yes, I think that is truly fascinating, and for that reason
I think that's fucking hella interesting.
It was very interesting to hear coworkers' recounts of this for that reason. Because I know that.
Oh, any good, like, who did people think they, like, can you give us a taste? Was it fantastical? What was the deal?
It wasn't really that fantastical.
Good, I believe that more.
I had one coworker, like, remembering, like some iron working details.
Okay,
I don't know. So actually, maybe their recounts were, like, a little more normal. Because then I had, like, a coworker who, like, regressed and remembered, like, some family bullshit. Like, it was more of, like, emotional memories.
So
maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm painting my coworkers with too broad of a brush with these people on the YouTube, because the people that
these
I knew
like,
actually
I
did have a little
Jesus.
More. No, yeah. I don't know anyone who thought that, although there were some people in the video, and that was incredible in its own way. But no,
wow,
actually,
that, I mean,
to
that
be fair,
is interesting.
I had, some people who I knew who had more nuanced experiences, and so... But even that could be a reflection of their current life, obviously. We can never know. Anyway, so I would be remiss if we didn't talk about this one other thing before we do scientific conclusions. would be kind of like the purpose of reincarnation, and like in an East versus West way, I just wanted to call out that in the West and in America specifically, we obviously have a desire to believe in reincarnation. We like the idea of living again, having lived previously. It makes us interesting. It gives us hope. But in Eastern religion, reincarnation isn't a bad thing, but it does mean that you didn't reach enlightenment. And so, like, reincarnation is, like, treated so differently East and West. And I don't know, I wanted to just kind of ask, like, what are your thoughts on it? And, like, do you like the idea of reincarnation, or does that feel like an exhausting forever cycle?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Like, if this is, you know, a reality for everyone, like, does that feel bad? No, because I feel like in theory, right, if, you know, we're all experiencing some level of reincarnation, it seems to me like you're not cognizant of that, or like most people aren't, if that's really what's going on. And so that doesn't feel exhausting to me. If anything, it feels what some people might consider green or eco-friendly. Seems like a nice form of recycling.
It,
you know,
does.
I don't.
Yes.
I'm not. I don't have some sort of like positive or negative view of it.
I don't think, like,
I'm both not bothered, you know, and or like not like putting like value in it. I'm just like, interesting, cool. Like, I don't know.
I think I'm interested and I hope that it happens.
Yeah.
But I will say that I'm a little nervous sometimes about the idea of reincarnation, just because of the lack of control over like where I may end up.
But like, does it matter if you're not conscious of it?
I guess not, but it would suck to like, I don't know, like be like a political prisoner in my next life.
Sure. Sure it would. I feel like that would suck in the way that the fact that there are political prisoners sucks. But it would be like a different person.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Jamie Ryan.
No, that's true. I don't, and that is what's so confusing about it. And
well,
I would have a whole
theory,
different mind.
Then you're starting to like hierarchically like place greater value on your present self. But
correct.
If reincarnation is happening, you know, whoever you were pre Jamie Ryan, like what about that person? It's not really about like the current, you know what I'm saying? If that's what you're buying into, and then you'd be like, oh, like I right now am like the highest version. Whatever happens like after this is like what I have to protect. But like, what about what happened before? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point.
That's a little complicated. I think that's the thing that arguably would be the toughest about it, is if you fully subscribe to reincarnation, there has to be like a little bit more of like a break from the ego and the individualism we have in Western culture. If anything, it makes more sense as a belief in some of the Eastern cultures and religions, because in general, compared like East versus West, the East values like the community and the family more. And, you know, us people who stole everything from the Greeks are like, no, like I'm an Olympian and like I am singularly the best. And like, yeah, that whole individual, you know, triumph and vibe. And so I think with Western ideals like that, it's harder to accept some kind of premise of, you know, reaching enlightenment through like being a bunch of different people and just like a community member, because that's not how we were raised.
And
like,
also
by society, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that we probably, in what we're talking about today, this is an incredibly Westernized view of reincarnation, because I think
100%.
That it's about the perpetuation of the ego rather than like the letting go of the ego and the continuing of a consciousness that is maybe separate from ego. I think that we are all hoping in an Unsolved Mysteries way to be like reincarnated and like remember this and like live again and we are forever. So I do think that is the break from any
self-preservation. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's such a good point about like maybe more Eastern community like recycling view of it does require us to let go of the self in a way that's counterintuitive to American reincarnation.
100%. Or just like whatever white people are talking about.
Correct.
I just, Yeah, that's an interesting, like, nuanced piece of it, because it seems like people are doing it to, you know, and could be in a false way to, like, chase fame or notoriety, mm-hmm. but also just in this, like we said, like, is this a version of self-preservation and, like, preventing your mortality and being worried about the cycle of you? But I think if you're fully invested, you're not the beginning.
No, and you are attempting, if you are not the focus, then you're just attempting to contribute positively to, like, the life right. cycle of everything. And then enlightenment right. is the goal, and so not being reincarnated is the goal.
And then, in which case, you really should care more about, like, recycling, because, like,
yeah.
you know,
let's all recycle. Yeah. Anyway,
let's all recycle.
Okay. On to a scientific status conclusion, and I don't want to hype this too much. It's not that exciting, but I just felt like I should nail it down.
Okay.
Ian Stevenson and Jim Tucker mostly hold the highest academic standing, and it's not great in regards to scientific plausibility of reincarnation. There are a few newer, and when I say newer, I mean like 2017 to 2020, scientific and scholarly religious or philosophical papers that exist, and those papers push for more like hard data-driven exploration of the subject.
Sure.
And such as studies on like prodigies, like we mentioned, and people with certain mental illnesses. Although I will say that this kind of research being suggested does kind of open the doors to some ethical gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the academic writing on reincarnation cites unfinished business or unresolved lessons, as we mentioned, as the cause for reincarnation. And I am still seeing that as I look at these newer articles. And that's very disappointing, because I feel like that is corrupting the research, and a better focus could be the 21 grams shit. And like, let's maybe do that experiment again.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting thing, is when we try and in some ways interesting too with the birthmarks, it's when we try and use like the physical mm-hmm. to explain the metaphysical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm interested in that shit. I'm like, do these experiments where, like, did you have an out-of-body experience? Great, then tell me what was on top of the PET scan, what photo we taped to it. Nobody could. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
That was such a fun experiment, guys. Indeed.
I love that one. I'm like, more science like this. And you know what? Were the results disappointing? Yeah, because I wanted people to, like, prove to me it was real, but it was a truth quest, so I'm here for the fucking truth. So.
Yeah, I'm here for the myth to be proved or busted, and it's all right. But any That's other right. Like thoughts or questions that I could attempt to answer on reincarnation?
No, I just American edition. I think it's fascinating. I know that this American edition on it, and if anything, like, I don't know, it seems like there's like a lot of fame chasing probably wrapped up in this in Western culture,
mm-hmm. and it's like sideshow vibes.
Yeah, and I feel like, in some ways, humans have a lot of desire to be quote unquote special. And
yes, know, that's a big part of that. It's a big yeah. part, I think. But that being said, I would love to do a past life regression with you, and we could do a follow up episode about it. And maybe it's all garbage, but I don't really care.
You know, I would just be curious what my experience would be. And I think I'd be doing a lot of introspective thoughts afterwards of like what I thought, and I hope I like wouldn't be such a skeptic that I wouldn't have like any kind of vibe about it.
Me too.
Because if I did, I would be like really curious to be like, what does it say about me that I thought X, Y, and Z about, like, quote unquote, my past self?
Exactly.
I'd be curious. Would I really glorify myself? Would I be a peasant? I don't know. Ooh. I'm curious.
Anyway, with that being said, shall we pivot to a verbal game?
Let's do it.
Cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
All right, so today is not a new game, but a riff on Marry, Fuck, Kill that I'm going to call Long Life, Short Life, No Life. And essentially, you're choosing one life to live for a normal amount of life, like a long okay. life, maybe 90 years.
Like a full life.
Yeah. Yes. Short life being that maybe you live to 35 or 40. So you're only like an okay. adult in this life for a little bit of time.
Okay.
And then no life is like you don't have to experience like this life at all.
Okay, cool.
So, and there will be two sets of these. So your first set okay. of choices is Conquistador.
Oh.
Montana, single mother of 12.
12?
Or feral cat.
Oh, cat. Wow, 35 would be an old cat.
So would 90.
No, 90 would be a hella old cat. Wow, think about how much you'd see.
Be a street cat for 90 years?
I don't want to be a conquistador.
No, of course not. Like,
I feel like I got some issues with that. So that's off the table. Single mother of 12. And did we have a time frame for when I was in Montana with these 12 children?
You're always in Montana.
No, no, no. But did we have like what decade, century am I doing that?
You can, it can be now.
I'd almost rather it be earlier. Like, I don't know.
You'd rather be a single mother of 12 earlier?
I have no idea. I don't, you know, maybe when it was more like communities helped each other more in like a small, timey, like, you know, we rode out here on wagons and my husband died on the Oregon Trail kind of way. Like,
right. No, that's true. And you don't want to die at 35.
When child labor wasn't illegal and I could put these 12 kids to work, you know, shit. I don't.
You'd be Mother Hubbard in that shoe. All your kids sewing up the house.
We'd be tilling the fields. fuck.
And you don't want to die at 35 if you have 12 kids because then you're like orphaning all your children.
But
your golden years might be amazing if you have 12 children. Think about like 60 to 90.
Totally, I'd be really celebrated as a matriarch, like hustling. I think I'd be like I'd be a mother of 12 for a long time. I mean, because otherwise, I feel like if I have to tap out at, you know, 35, it's basically like I spent, you know, my whole adult life pregnant to bust out these 12 children, right? You know, it's like constantly for sure. Pregnant. And then I died. Like,
yep.
Fuck that. So, I'll be a mother of 12 single out in Montana. Shout out to Montana. hopefully somewhere near the parks. Until I'm 90. Just in a beautiful area. I see myself like sleeping under a Pendleton blanket, celebrating Glacier. And then I'll be a feral cat till 35. I'm open to that. I'd like to be a city cat as well.
Okay, wow. Rough and tumble lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Get these claws sharpened.
Your second set.
Would you do it any differently?
No, I would do exactly that.
Okay, cool.
Then your next choices are to be a sewer inspector, and this is a person who scrubs the sewers.
All day. Go on.
An Amish person, an Amish woman specifically.
Oh, okay. That is different than being an Amish man.
It's a really different experience. Or an intelligent and wealthy person, but just a head.
Like I'm just like a... I have no body.
Maybe you have, like a robot body and like a wheelchair, but like your only part of your body that's original is your head.
Okay. Okay, so I'm a head. I'm an Amish woman. And what was my first
sewer
option?
Inspector, current
sewer
times.
Sewer inspector. You know what? Like, a job doesn't have a ton of significance in terms of my...
Oh, it's not the whole life in the way the other choices are.
Yeah, 100%.
Amish is all-consuming, so is being just ahead.
Right. I think I'm going to be Amish till I'm 35, and then I'm just going to, you know, live in the sewers until I'm 90. And I think, you know, my Amish... I might have some, if I'd like to say in this, like, you know, past life kind of way, I think I'd have some skills from that. Like, maybe, you know, I'd take my Amish butter churning into my next wave of life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I got some crafty domestic abilities that I would take into, you know, my culinary endeavors. I don't think I want to be just ahead because... I think it removes some of the things that I personally am passionate about from being things I could partake in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think this is sad, but honest. I think that, like, people are afraid of people who are different from them. And I just imagine as being just ahead, I would be someone who didn't have a lot of intimate interpersonal relationships, which is like my favorite thing.
No, and you need like constant care, probably.
Right. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't do shit for myself. And I would imagine maybe feeling like a little bit like a burden and like I didn't have deep friendships because maybe my experience would feel so different and maybe I'm
you could
a little scary
never,
to people.
Like, really, I mean, I guess you could maybe find a few friends online who were also just heads and bond over, like, your shared experience, but...
I don't think they're just heads, Jamie. Like, who would these friends be? Like, this isn't a real thing. I don't think
no,
a just
head
can survive.
No, it's not a real scenario. This is a man with two brains situation.
It's shout out to you, Steve Martin. And that is exactly what I thought about when you first were like, you're just ahead. I imagined the man with two brains, like, being a brain in a jar. Yeah. What do you do? What's your vibe here?
I'm not, like, as opposed to being just ahead as you
I
are.
I kind of thought you would be open to the head more than the Amish. Like, I feel like you would swing that differently than me.
I guess I could have, like, a semi-normal life as a sewer inspector.
I don't see why you couldn't.
Yeah, that's just a lot of... It's just, like, a lot of time, like, finding bodies in the sewer, which is apparently most of what they do.
Oh, wow. Well, no, I would start... I would start a podcast about my inspections.
Oh, shit.
I would be a sewer inspector that had, like... internet fame, or I'd just be like on Reddit writing people's favorite stories. You know,
become
what I mean?
The
about
dog
my,
the
like,
bounty hunter of sewer inspecting
of sewers. Yeah, I would be Dog the sewer hunter. Everyone, I'd make everyone call me Dog. I'm wow. Yeah, that's fucking dope. I didn't know there was body stuff involved, and I'm not like, you know, here for that, but I'm kind of here for that. So
Austin just reviewed the fact that sewer inspectors find bodies as a primary part of their job as fucking dope.
I, you know what? Listen, I am just here to call spades spades, okay? Let me live. That was more of a selling point for me, honestly.
I'm open to, I don't know, that I didn't spin it that way, but I guess I don't think that I would want to be Amish ever, and so
yeah, I see that for you not being a thing.
I guess, which do I want to be longer, an able-bodied sewer inspector or an independently wealthy head?
An independently wealthy head.
I don't know. It's I think that I might. Ooh.
I don't know. I see your myself opposition to the Amish. I imagine my Amish lifestyle looking something like Emily Dickinson's life. I think that's why I'm open to it.
I definitely am here for, like, Amish people talking about how, like, pre-Rumspringa, they can, like, hear the music and the wind and whatnot. And then it gets ruined.
I'm never
going to
get married.
After
I'm
going
to, like, never leave my parents' house and die kind of young. And, like, sorry to my family, but that feels
fine. Yeah, Amish
fine.
To 35, depending on what family you get tossed into and what community, could be all right.
I'd like to think it's my parents. They're just Amish.
Interesting. Well, that's real.
Well, if it's me.
That's generous.
Okay, well, all right. I'd love to imagine my dad specifically in that garb.
I like that too. And you know what? I'm ready to answer. I'm going 90 year head. I'll be kind of Elon Musk. People will, by the time I'm approaching like 85, people will start to wonder if I'll ever die because my body's fully robot. So like what?
Yeah, it's like a little Stephen Hawking-esque, except with, you know, no body.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. Maybe I could rise to be kind of a world power a la Elon Musk or Stephen Hawking and maybe kind of undercut some of the corruption in governments with my money, but probably not.
Oh, you could be a benevolent head, though. You could, like, take down Daddy Jeff. You know
exactly
what I'm talking about. I like that. Okay.
That's all that I have. Those are all of the questions.
You guys.
And those are all the questions for 2020, I guess.
What an interesting wrap on season 5. Just being like, Jamie's going to be ahead and I'm going to be finding bodies in a sewer, which as
it's
was,
our next
you
chapter.
Know, reiterated, I called fucking dope.
Yes.
Terrible. Oh, I can't. That feels like very on brand for how we should, you know, wrap it up.
That's
and
right.
To Jamie's earlier point, yes, we are wrapping season 5 on you. We are coming to you. Obviously, we can't leave you hanging without your January horoscopes.
No, we'll be
so
back
we will
with
be,
that shit.
We'll be dropping that live, but not live, for you on the 31st, this coming Thursday.
Little
New Year's Eve. So let us say Happy New Year and all the
and
things.
And let we'll me some... say that our 2020 look ahead that we did in 2019, our January horoscope that came out in December 2019, was uncannily accurate to the year that we
That's
had.
Fair.
So, you know, maybe like,
go back
maybe
and
like
give
listen
it a listen.
Up.
Yeah. Maybe pay attention to us. We'll tell you what's going to happen.
Next prediction coming soon.
We hope. And with that said, you know, you never know. We may poke into your social media, your airwaves, but we will be back to you with some exciting new stuff, cool things in the works for season 6. We're very hyped about it. We hope you get hyped too. And we'll be back to deliver you the goods on February 2nd.
Age of Aquarius. Yes.
The Age of Aquarius, we're going to get into it. Yeah. Take care of thine selves and like maybe we'll see you.
And write to us in the meantime. Be our pen pals.
Be our pen pals. Catch up on some old shit, you know.
Definitely. Okay. Hit the backlog. We'd appreciate that. And a little rate and review. You know, let's bring that average up, guys. Top 5-star. Thank you.
Always good. We're not mad. You know, we're not, you know, a little deeply wounded about the person who.
No, we can't talk about it anymore because we're starting to give them power. We're never talking about it
again. Yeah, truly, we can't. We got to stop giving these people power. God damn it. Okay.
But get at us on the internet, please.
Please, get at us on the internet with maybe any fun suggestions. Is there something you've been dying to hear but haven't and hope that it happens in season 6? We're taking your thoughts always. Mm-hmm. So hit us up via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And we'll truly see you next year.
We will. Bye.
Bye.